This is KTOO's Juno Afternoon. Our first guests here are to help us continue our coverage of virtual celebration-related coverage. As producer of Juno Afternoon, I'd like to acknowledge that while KTOO is under contract with Sea Alaska Heritage Institute to produce television and online video coverage of this year's virtual celebration, it does not affect programming on this show. And now our guests are here to talk about the economics of art. We have Lee Kadinger. He is the Chief of Operations at SHI. Lee, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And also Ricardo Wuerl, who is the Marketing and Development Director. Ricardo, welcome.
Thank you, Scott. Nachish.
It's great to have you both here, and thank you for your time. I was just watching Virtual Celebration on your YouTube channel, on SHI's YouTube channel. It's so interesting to see these vintage dances from 2018 on the main stage. And then I just saw Clune Lance Twitchell talking about language in Auslinget. What's your guys' favorite part? Let's start with that. What's your favorite part of Virtual Celebration this year, Ricardo? I'll start with you.
Thank you, Scott. I would have to say my favorite part at this point in day three is that, everything seems to be going pretty smoothly for us. It was a big unknown. We were piecing together hundreds of video clips and selfies from all over Alaska to make the broadcast and to also to get people, excited about celebration. Even though we weren't together, we had to find a way to kind of keep that excitement, that spirit of celebration going. And so people participating by selfies, by media posts, videos, all of that has, I think, been pretty neat to witness. One observation that I have, and I think a lot of other people have, is, when you're in celebration and you're part of a dance group, you often miss many really cool dance groups because you're so busy running back and forth between the halls and trying to catch some of the art market and visiting with people that, you don't get to see these groups. And then now that they're being broadcast, I get to see a lot of the groups that I hadn't seen in 2018.
All right. Lee Kadinger, what surprised you most? Or what have you enjoyed?
Well, sure. What I've been most impressed with is how staff, contractors, volunteers, leaders have had the understanding, flexibility, and just overall cooperation to really, as Ricardo said, move mountains to transition from a in-place celebration where, we've done for the past 38 years to this virtual celebration, which required an extraordinary amount of work. And so I just want to thank everyone for their understanding. This is our first time ever doing anything like this. And we've had to create a process for doing it in a very short time. And so I just want to thank everyone for the many late nights, the many weekends, and just the amount of time that they put in to make this happen. Because, we recognize that our community needed this, shareholders needed this to uplift them in this time of, in these challenging times, in this time of anxiety and concern that COVID-19 has us in. So I just wanted to express my extreme pleasure with how impressed I am for that. So.
All right, thank you. So as you guys know, this week we've been talking a lot about virtual celebration, and we've had the honor to have many guests on talking about the juried art show or the toddler regalia or the fashion show. And we thought that maybe today it might be interesting to sort of focus on the economics of virtual celebration. And I was wondering what you guys thought of that. Who would like to start and just sort of open up that conversation?
Sure. Well, I can touch base a little bit on that. The economics of celebration are pretty clear. Sea Alaska Heritage worked with McDowell Group several years ago to quantify the economic impact of a traditional celebration. And we know, we have the evidence that it provides $2.2 million of economic impact here to the community in 4 days. It draws almost 6,000 people. So it's a substantial economic impact in the community. And further, it adds almost $160,000, I believe, directly to the city and borough of Juneau in sales and head tax collection from the economic activity. So that's the economics of a traditional celebration. And by moving to a virtual celebration, you know, there still is a significant cost that SHI will bear to host a virtual celebration. And, you know, we also recognize that the economic impact in Juneau will not be as much as it would have been had we had a physical event here drawing thousands and thousands of people. Pulling this all together still was a significant expense. Probably in the end will total approximately $150,000. And so, you know, there still is a rather substantial economic impact from hosting the virtual event. But again, the $150,000 is purely an estimate from what we're expecting to be the approximated total cost of hosting this virtual celebration.
All right. Ricardo, as marketing and development director, what's on your mind, economically speaking?
Well, certainly having been a small business owner and working downtown, seeing and knowing what a celebration means to this community in terms of small businesses, hotels, car rentals, restaurants, all of the shops, thinking of our smaller local businesses, the downtown core that would be just flooded with, 6,000 participants and visitors, and to not have that on top of our shutdown of the cruise ship industry, it's hard not to think about that. What we can and have been able to sort of make up for and compensate as much as we can is focusing on where there might be little pockets of opportunity for revenue. And that comes in the form of supporting our artists, our Alaska Native artists. In celebration, we have the juried art show, the virtual arts market, and then throughout the year, SHI has part of its mission is to, promote, sustain the ancient art, but also we see it in our education and training programs to create financial opportunities, particularly for our villages, and providing these skills that anyone can do in any of our communities, to get into art, to have some kind of a revenue. It's a long-term, big picture operation that Sea Alaska Heritage has been instrumental in trying to build, these markets in fur and teaching form line and carving and, Lee, maybe there's probably several other, workshops and events that we do that hold up the arts, creates opportunity for artists.
Yeah, Lee, did you have thoughts on that as well?
Yeah, that was something that we really looked at is recognizing that many of our artists are going to, in these times, everyone is feeling the economic impact of COVID-19. But we recognize that artists would probably be more impacted than others because to purchase art requires an amount of disposable income. And in times like this, people's disposable income is lesser. And so we really focused on how can we continue to provide opportunities for artists. And that's why we were, we ensured that we had a virtual juried art show. And we, along with the awards that were provided there, there also is monetary amounts that go with those awards. So that will assist artists. We are also doing a virtual Native Artist Market. I believe we have 17 individuals, and the way that's working is basically we work with artists to do a video of the items that they have for sale, and then we will be running those videos. And then individuals, if they see a piece that they like, can contact that artist directly and make a purchase of those items. But we have been making a concerted effort to ensure we can do everything that SHI is able to provide income to artists during these times. And we also continue to purchase art for the Sealaska Heritage Store. So that's another area that we continue to help and support artists where we're able to. And of note on that, SHI supports approximately 250 artists through our retail store. So it's a substantial amount throughout the region, throughout the state, and even some artists in the lower 48. So we really try to support artists wherever we can.
So it sounds like perhaps, you know, an alternative to the cash we might have spent on hotels or entertainment or shopping while in town during celebration, we can actually directly support the artists. We did have the winners of the juried art show on the show yesterday and really enjoyed speaking with them, but we didn't talk too much. And now that I think about it, on your website, there is a place where people can actually purchase some of that art. Ricardo, will you tell us more about how we can do that?
Sure. The virtual art market, and again, it was one of those things that we had hours and hours of conversation. How are we going to do that? And then a lot of times artists, you know, are not necessarily the, you know, the best at marketing their own, you know, their own product, especially if you're by yourself and you're isolated to be safe and you have to shoot a video or you have to make commentary. So we've been learning to provide sort of a guide on how to shoot videos and give consideration to lighting, to sound, and how to hold your camera. You know, all these little tips to help with marketing, to make the virtual arts market to encourage people to participate in it. So we have the virtual arts market. You can access through the Sealaska website, but we also have the Sealaska Heritage Gift Shop, which is also supporting our native and local artists. And again, when the economy shut down, that included our store, and so our store manager and staff had to also make the adjustment to moving to online sales, learning to take photos of and write ups on descriptions of each of our products and who the artists are, and it's been successful. And the sales from our store are important in that not only do they support the artists, but they help Sealaska Heritage. When we go after grants, a lot of times we have to have, you know, a match, and we can't use other grant funds or government funds as the match. And so the sales from, you know, from our store are really important for SHI to continue, you know, pursuing and getting other grants.
And so I was just going to quickly ask if the physical store itself, is it then closed right now there at the Walter Sobel F building?
Yeah, the physical store is closed to the public at this point. But if an individual would like, they can still call the store and make a private appointment to come in and shop. They can also order online. The majority of our items, approximately 85%, are online. So they can look online. If they identify something, they can contact the store and make an appointment. But I wanted to double back, Scott, to a question that you had about, you know, if an individual looks at the juried art show and sees an item that they would like, some are for sale and some are not for sale. But if an individual sees an item in the juried art show that they would like, they can submit an inquiry on our website and state, this is the item I would like, send us an email, and we'd connect them directly with the artist to make that purchase. So I definitely encourage listeners to look at the juried art show items. There's some spectacular work in there this year. And if they find an item they'd like, feel free to reach out to us. And of note too, 100% of the proceeds of those juried art show items go directly to the artist. So that's, you know, that's something that has a big impact.
If you're just tuning in, this is KTO's Juno Afternoon. We're speaking with Lee Katinger, the Chief of Operations at Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, and Ricardo Wuerl, Marketing and Development Director, kind of, sort of, about the economics of art here today on Juno Afternoon. Ricardo, you mentioned earlier the importance of education and training. I was wondering if you could sort of pick one of those, maybe. What's one of the programs that you're most proud of, and sort of exemplify that for our listeners?
Well, I guess, you know, one that comes to mind that's been significant and long-term is the skin sewing classes. And, you know, it's inclusive of deer hide, moose hide, but also otter and rabbit. And so the skin sewing classes,
Looks like we're having a little bit of a technical difficulty. Lee, do you want to pick that up for a second? And when Ricardo's signal comes back, we'll go back to him.
Sure thing. So what was the question again, Scott?
Just sort of speaking to educational and training endeavors, and maybe one that you're proud of. Oh, it looks like we have Ricardo back. you want to pick up where you left off? We were talking about skin sewing. And
sure. Yes. So, you know, so here's a class that, you know, we bring to the community level and at the beginner level, and anyone can get into it. And it's been, you know, very successful, very popular, both with otter skins and products, hats and gloves and scarves, but also we're seeing moccasins and other types of beadwork. And we've seen these artists grow over the years and sustain, you know, their product line, improve their quality of product work. Now this ties into also, you know, where we're headed. We have, for the first time, we have the Northwest Coast Arts degree, a two-year degree or four-year degree available in partnership with the University of Alaska Southeast, where young people can receive an education, degree, essential basic training in form line and understanding, you know, Tlingit Haida Tsimshian art, and in partnership with the Institute of American Indian Arts in New Mexico. It's a great, you know, great program, and we're trying to get more students and young people involved in that program. And so the whole SHI, you know, arts program, you know, starts at a young age. We have summer camps that, you know, teach young kids, expose young kids to art, and it engages math concepts, into that art. So to pick one that, you know, that I'm most proud of is you can see I'm jumping all over the place. But I do want to, this is a good lead in to where SHI is headed, and that's the arts campus that, you know, that we're going to break ground in a couple of weeks here.
Wow, exciting. Lee, do you want to pick that up? So this, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is going to be in the parking lot between the Walter Sobolev building and Sea Alaska sort of corporation building. Is that right?
Correct. Where the current Sea Alaska parking lot is right now is the where the future home of the art campus will be, and if I could make one note on adding on what Ricardo was mentioning, another element that SHI does is our public policy work with regards to the arts. And this is a more of an unknown item that I think it doesn't get as much attention, where we're very involved with like the definition of significantly altered and how it pertains to what can and can't be made out of sea otter. And Sea Alaska Heritage worked very hard on this back in 2010 and got a definition that allows artists to be able to make a business now. In the past, there wasn't a definition, and everything came down to an enforcement officer's basically interpretation. And so it changed wildly. We also are working on the Migratory Bird Act, because there's artists that want to continue to make items that have been made for thousands of years that utilize puffin beaks, which naturally fall off each year during the mating season and wash ashore, to be able to use those on rattles, to be able to continue to utilize flicker feathers. So that type of public policy work ensures that art forms can continue to be made as have been done for thousands of years and continue to be sold so that artists can make a living off of it.
Okay. Well, maybe it's back to you, Ricardo. Do you want to take us on a virtual walk through what the campus might look like?
Sure. There's a number of key features, in the arts campus, and a lot of it, is going to be parts of it will be gauged to the monumental art. So, like our totem poles, large screens, large house posts, and creating a space that can accommodate, large logs. The building, the structure itself will have a, large open doors that slide open. We'll have another area that can accommodate the metalwork and silversmithing. You see all the beautiful copper and silver work that our people produce. There's going to be a segment for textiles, like basketry and weaving. A lot of the facilities within that building, they don't exist. The university doesn't have the structure and all of the workspace and materials that's needed. So the arts campus in that building is going to finally create, space designated and designed specifically. And we met with artists on our arts committee during the early planning stages of the arts campus, so that we had a sense of what are their needs going to be, what are their technical airflow, sinks, places for a boiler room, just a lot of different factors that go in to making our traditional art.
Okay. Lee, when I think about the beauty of the Walter Soboleff building, how would you compare and contrast what this is going to look like to that building?
Sure. So the art campus will definitely pull a lot of inspiration from the Walter Soboleff building. The look and the feel of it, it'll be clad in cedar, very similar to the Walter Soboleff building. We'll incorporate the same type of glass and awnings and such. So I think it'll have a look and feel very similar to the Walter Soboleff building.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, I suspect we could probably talk for a couple more hours, but we just about come to the end of our time for today. We should check in again sometime. I've enjoyed speaking with you. Remind us, virtual celebration, about what time it's going to go through this weekend. Ricardo?
Sure. Yeah. The schedule. I tried to pull it up here. We'll be going late tonight. I think I was up till about 11 last night watching the Angoon performances. But tomorrow, and usually we've been starting at 11, but tomorrow is our final day. We'll begin at noon and run again through the evening. I do want to mention Tonight at 7:30 is the virtual Indigenous fashion show, and that's one of the highlights of Celebration. And if you have a little bit of time or you want to catch one thing, it's so neat to see the creativity, the modernization of our art in the fashion show.
Okay. I've been watching on SHI's YouTube channel. Lee, where have you been watching Virtual Celebration?
Yeah, so we watch it at the house through the YouTube channel as well.
How about you, Ricardo? Where are you watching it?
Oh, I've been doing we've been doing a little bit of both. We watch it on KTOO, and then we'll switch over to the YouTube channel as well.
All right. Well, thank you both so much for talking to us, Lee Kadinger and Ricardo Wuerl, talking about Virtual Celebration and the economics of art. I appreciate your time. And anything else you'd like to add, Ricardo?
No, I just really appreciate, you making time for us. I, encourage, people to listen to the words of the orators and the dance leaders and the clan leaders at Celebration. You'll hear, words of encouragement, words of strength, reciprocity and respect. And these are all things that are really important in our nation right now with all the issues that we're dealing with. I think Tlingit, Haida, Tsimshian people have a lot to offer, and give us a lot to be inspired and think about.
Okay. Lee, anything you'd add to that?
Sure. Just one last maybe plug on the art campus. Sea Alaska Heritage has raised approximately 80% of the total project costs, but we're still moving forward with the project. But for COVID-19, we would be at 100% of our goal. So the delay there is absolutely tied to the impacts of COVID-19, but we're still very thankful to the community for their support. If individuals are listening and they want to reach out and support the construction of the art campus, they can go to sealaskaheritage.org. Click on the link for the art campus, and they can support directly online.
Please do. Gunas Cheesh. Thank you, gentlemen.
Gunas Cheesh.